Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 14th chapter of John's gospel. This is a portion of the conversation that Jesus had with the disciples as they were seated at the table at the Last Supper. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Open your good news to us, O God, and open us to your good news, that we may find ourselves in your abundant life. Speak now, God, and help us to listen. Amen. A devout woman dies and meets St. Peter at the pearly gates. He shows her around the place. They walk through meadows filled with people of all ages and all nationalities. It's a beautiful sunny day, and there's music and laughter, black and white and brown people, talking, playing, listening, all one family enjoying each other's company. The Baptists have everybody engaged in a hymn sing, and the Methodists are laying out a potluck for the whole group. The Episcopalians are setting up a wine tasting, while the Catholics are passing out cards for bingo later. Then the two walk a little further and come to a doorway with a lot of very serious-looking people inside. St. Peter motions to be quiet and tiptoes past the door. The woman turns to him and says, What was that? Why did we have to be quiet? That was the fundamentalist, Peter says. They think they're the only ones here. Now, I'm kidding, of course. And you know as well as I that that could just as easily be Presbyterians. We're all guilty of assuming that everything will be fine once everyone else comes around to our way of thinking. Maybe you've been in a discussion before where someone questioned what it takes to get to God. If the discussion goes on long enough, someone usually reaches into their back pocket to pull out a clobber text, something like this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Citing this verse is meant to signal, bam, discussion over, case closed. That's a clobber text. I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus says, and the whole history of the world might be different if he had just stopped right there. But he didn't. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus adds. And for 2,000 years, Christians have misused that one phrase to draw lines in the sand rather than expanding the wide circle of God's love. And when we do that, I think we are grossly misrepresenting Jesus. Let me tell you what I mean. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, Jesus says. Some of us grew up hearing, in my Father's house are many mansions, which conjures up images of the Biltmore or those McMansions along Kingston Pike. But the Greek word, mone, just means a night stop or a resting place. When the Bible was translated from Greek into Latin in the 4th century, mone became mansion, which even then meant just a resting place. As late as the 11th century, it still meant that. So when Jesus says there are many dwelling places, I think he's saying there's room for everyone. It was never meant as a way to exclude. Jesus sees it as a way to include and to invite others into relationship. And you can see that reflected in the kind of language that Jesus uses. There are so many different names for God in the Bible: Creator, Rock, Sovereign, Mother Hen, Cloud, Lion. All of those point to different aspects of God. But here in John 14, John uses the term Father. In fact, he refers to God as Father 23 times in this chapter. He refers to God as God only once. That can't be just an oversight. Father-child language suggests a familiarity and an intimacy that you just don't get with Creator or Rock or Sovereign. Father is a sign of relationship, the same kind of closeness that Jesus has developed with his disciples. But it also means that the conversation is different. Let me give you an example. Some, maybe many of you, got Mother's Day cards last Sunday that said, "You are the best mother ever." Now, is that a true statement? Yes, of course it is. The child who gave you that card knows that it is true. Is it based on a quantitative data analysis of all the mothers who have ever lived? No. It is language spoken from the depths of love. If Jesus had said, "Friends, you're on your own, I'm one way among many, decide for yourselves," they would have died of anxiety right on the spot. But he doesn't say that. He uses love language instead. He uses the language of relationship. "I am the only one for you. You have made the right choice. No one can lead you to God better than I can. I am the way for you." And I think we have to keep all that in mind when we're trying to understand this passage. This was never intended to be a theological treatise on the relationship of Christianity to all other world religions. This is the last night of Jesus' life on this earth. He knows it. I expect his disciples know it. They don't know what's coming next, but they suspect it won't be good. And so Jesus is trying to reassure them. And he promises them that there is a way. But think of it like this. Let's say that this afternoon you decide to bring me a couple of dozen chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven, and you call wanting to know the way to my house. What's the first thing I'm going to ask you? Where are you coming from? Because just off the top of my head, I can name 8 or 10 different ways to my house. It depends on where you're coming from. There may be lots of ways to get to the same place. It depends on your starting point. Bob Mitchell, who's a former president of Young Life, used to say, "I believe salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, but Jesus may be known by many names." Or as C.S. Lewis reminds us, God hasn't told us what the arrangements are for other people. So let's stop using this passage as a clobber text and instead make it the inclusive invitation that Jesus intends. Let's start modeling the kind of welcome that Jesus shows to all people. God's house has many resting places. Jesus has prepared a place for us where strangers unexpectedly become family. Instead of turning this into a litmus test of who's in and who's out, what if instead we take it as a job description for the church? Who is welcome at our tables? Whom do we heal? Whose feet are we washing? How are we helping other people find family and place in the household of God? In just a moment, I've asked Maddie and Jordan to sing one of my favorites. It's by a singer-songwriter out of Asheville named David Wilcox. David wouldn't specifically refer to himself as a Christian musician, but the themes in his songs are profoundly spiritual. And he says that if we're going to love our neighbors the way Jesus asks us to, then we're going to have to get out of what he calls our theological gated communities. The song is called Show the Way, and it echoes John 14. The way of Jesus is love. The truth of Jesus is love. The life of Jesus is love. No one comes to God except through love. Amen.